Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Zero Ducks Given, another daily episode of Zero Ducks Given after the first day of the fourth test between England and India. I ended up at a pub lock-in last night and I had a nightmare of a morning. I had to go to the NHS this morning to look at my dodgy shoulder. And so that meant that my alarm went off at about 7:30, having stumbled out of the pub at God knows when. Then I got on the tube and then I got to Kennington Station and they evacuated us because of a fire. So I then had to jump in a black cab, all hungover. So I only saw the last 2.5 hours. I saw the final session of today's play. But luckily, we have got the one and only Daniel Norcross with us, who woke up at 3:45. And so he can talk us through the full day's play. But my musings, Daniel, for what they're worth, and they're not worth a lot, is... That was boring, wasn't it? What a pile of shit. We scored at like 3.5 and over. What twat. Wait, what? I mean, where's Bazball gone? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of considered clever cricket. And frankly, I want no part of it. And I hope India do us.
Well, yeah, that's because you missed the Bazball. The Bazball was all in the first session. It was absolutely amazing. So England decided they were going to bat because they understandably figured that they didn't want to be exposed to the spinners in the fourth innings. But it turned out that the pitch was at its most capricious, spicy and devilish in the first sort of hour. And then the most comical dismissal of all came off the last ball before lunch. So before that, the wonderful Akash Deep, who's making his debut, another absolutely sensational fast bowling prospect for India. They just seem to produce so many of them. Picked up 3 wickets very quickly. And he could have got his first wicket much earlier. He got Crawley with the most spectacular delivery that knocked out his off stump. It cartwheeled. You as a fast bowler would appreciate it. It was a sort of cartwheel that you expect Kirtley Ambrose to elicit, followed by the full shooting into the sky celebration. It did a proper, like, be 5 or 6 revolutions. It was gorgeous. But it was a no ball, which was hilarious. Then Crawley responded by hitting 3 fours and a 6 in consecutive balls off Siraj. As everyone realised, this pitch was really spicy for the faster bowlers, not the spinners. Deep gets 3 wickets. England are in trouble. You've slagged off Johnny Bairstow. So he comes out, of course, chest pumping, full of righteous fury. Plays a proper Baz ball knock, 38 in 34, before getting out to a really annoying sweep. It wasn't given out initially. Today, there was a lot of umpiring errors and a lot of referral errors. There were both a couple of ones overturned that were not given out and 3 needlessly used up by India. But that didn't come close to the funniest action of the first session, which was the last ball before lunch. Jadeja from round the wicket pitched it on sort of middle and leg and it just shot along the ground, hit Stokes on his foot and... The appeal sort of happened, but it wasn't necessary because he was walking off with a wry smile, didn't even bother looking. And that's when we thought, hello, this is going to be, this is fantastic. Maybe 150 is going to be enough on this deck. And of course, typically being an Indian pitch, it did the complete opposite in the afternoon and to a degree the evening sessions as the ball got a bit softer, I suppose, a bit of that. But also Folks and Root played in that way that you describe as diabolical. It was certainly different. They went about 2.5 an over in that middle session. 36 overs were bowled in the middle session, incidentally. Absolutely crazy. So even finished on time. And it was a delight to watch. I mean, I was knackered. And I know what you mean. I mean, watching technically perfect cricket can get a little bit frustrating. But at the same time, because England were in what was now feeling like a more parlous position, it's one of those ironic things, Toby, where the longer they batted, the more you thought they hadn't got enough runs. And you thought, oh, God, Indians better bat forever on this. And so, and to finish off the tale of the day, Folks who had been exceptionally lethargic in his scoring rate, going under 2 and over very comfortably, that suddenly unleashed in the last session, whacking Ashwin for a 6 and 2 fours, which seemed to be his cue to play his one bad shot of the day. He then just flicked it, albeit a reverse in-swinging ball from Siraj into the hands of mid-wicket. My takeout, as England ended on 302, is that I haven't got the faintest clue where that stands, except that England are in the game, right? Even if India score 450, if England can add another 15, yeah, they'll probably be out of the game realistically, but they're sort of in the game because they've also used up loads of time in a very un-Baz Ball way. By the time India get ahead of them and get far enough ahead, we'll be some distance into the game, which will, you know, I mean, we can't see the lesser spotted draw, can we? Probably not. The pitch will probably take care of that. And England's batting in the second innings will probably not be up to muster against a rampant Indian bowling attack. You never know. But it was a thoroughly fascinating day's cricket. Joe Root will grab all the headlines and everyone will say, that's what happens when you put away the reverse sweep. I might point out that there was no Bumrah. So he didn't have to be fazed by Bumrah reverse swinging the ball into his pads and getting him out and trying to find other ways of countering that threat. And the other thing he did was arrive at the crease, having not bowled 25 overs with cramp in his right hand and being utterly exhausted. So we saw a different Joe Root, but there may have been reasons beyond him being told off by the general public. I don't think that was the reason that he batted in the way that he did. But as I was going to say, my big takeout is that of the 7 wickets to fall, ordinarily in a test match day, 7 wickets fall, you probably get 2 really good balls, 2 sort of badly executed shots and 3 bad shots. And I reckon Folks' shot wasn't great, but it wasn't appalling. You could see how it can happen. And Johnny Bairstow's wasn't great sweeping from round the wicket. The other 5 were beautiful balls. I mean, Duckett, beautiful ball. Pope, beautiful ball. It was kind of weird as well because DRS had the ball kind of plateauing, which is how it hit the top of leg stump. Crawley, unbelievably beautiful ball to kiss the top of off stump. Hartley got a mega ball from Siraj, and it was really good cricket. It was really good cricket, Toby. I'm sad you missed most of it, but it was really good, and it now makes me really irritable about Indian timings. You know what's great about a West Indies test is that the game starts at like 2, doesn't it? You watch it through till about 10. You have a few drinks. You watch the French drama that you got lined up on Netflix. You go to bed. You have breakfast. You could do Homes Under the Hammer. Cup of coffee. Before you know it, it's build up for the test again. In an Indian game, it's all done by 11:30. Then you've got to wait for so fucking long. You're really exhausted. And then you're just dragged through sleeplessness at 4 in the morning. So, I'm impatient for it to start again because it's been left on a knife edge. That was a very long answer, wasn't it? But you're used to it.
I enjoyed it and I am used to it entirely. We have to talk about Joe Root. Like you say, he's going to take the headlines. What was nice was that everyone on Twitter was basically claiming his runs on his behalf. Everyone that criticised his shot in the last test match said that because of their tweet that nobody saw, Joe Root knuckled down. And the people that defended his shot in the last test said because of their tweet that nobody saw, it just proves that Joe Root knew what he was doing all along and he's got it all under control. So everybody is claiming responsibility for Joe Root's 100. I, weird take on this whole issue, but I think that maybe praise should go to Joe Root and not cricket fans with Twitter accounts. But hey, who am I to judge? He was magnificent. He was wonderful.
But Toby, that's because Bazball is for all of us. It's the gift that's given to us all. So, And you know, even in criticism of Bazball, we get to wallow in the beauty of Bazball. Bazball is for the nation. It's for the world of cricket. It's for everybody out there. It's for all the Aussies
the people
and Indians who
deserve Bazball. Yes, exactly that. The one thing I am going to take issue with, because I saw you again being a podcast slut, because Daniel Norcross whores himself out to any podcast that will have him. But I saw a video got posted of your discussion about Joe Root's bowling and tiring him out for batting. And I want you to know, Daniel, that not for the first time in life, I think you're completely full of shit. I'm sorry, but Joe Root bowling 25 overs of gentle off-spin has not been affecting his batting at all. You know, like Jacques Callis averaged nearly 60 and used to bowl seam for 25 overs and batted free, right?
He bowled for about 12 overs, did Jacques Callis?
That's late-era fat Jacques Callis. Young, skinny, you know, virulent Jacques Callis used to bowl proper pace and he'd steam in. You know,
Think of his hands. He's got to bowl off-spin, Toby.
No, I don't think about his hand. It's off-spin. Get out of town. I'm sorry. I will accept a lot of excuses for Joe Root's recent poor form, but I will not accept the fact that he's had to bowl a few overs of off-spin as a good reason for him not scoring any runs. We're going to have to disagree on that. I need Zaltzman to give me the stats on Joe Root's batting average with and without having bowled overs in a test match, okay? Can you speak to him, please, for me?
I will do that, yeah.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The thing is, I mean, I know we bang on about Bazball, but what else is there to do? Bazball isn't a slog. It's sort of about, they say themselves, about absorbing pressure and trying to put it back on whenever possible. Joe Root looked at the scoreboard at lunch and went, we're in a bit of a pickle here. So he came out and he knuckled down. His shot, by the way, which I didn't think got enough praise to bring up his 100, was so sexy. It was like he got to 99. He went from 97 to 99 with a 2. And it was one of those moments where he was like, I'm going to get 100 before this over's over, I reckon. And I think no matter where the ball had gone, he was going to hit it for 4. It was like he could have done that the whole time. He played the most sumptuous drive between mid-off and extra cover to bring up his 100. And it just felt like he could have done that at any point, really. It was like, oh, I might as well get my 100 now. He looked back to his absolute best. I think there's one thing that hasn't been spoken about with Joe Root and his shot selection in the last test, or whatever, is that he's been a really bad footballer. He was crap at the World Cup, people forget as well. He hasn't actually been batting very well. I think maybe, and it's allowed, he is human after all, maybe he's just not been in great touch, but it didn't look like it today. He was absolutely glorious. And I think you're right. I think England probably got the worst of the pitch in that opening session. It'll be interesting to see if it's a bit spicy in the morning again, whether it's a dew factor causing the pitch to do that. I don't know whether the roller at lunch and tea was the reason it flattened out. But we kept saying the last few weeks, England need to win the toss and bat first. And they got their wish. And if they, I thought Ollie Robertson batted beautifully, by the way, if they can get up to sort of 370, 380, which would be, I mean, it's a big ask, but Joe Root's still there. You don't like the look of that. You don't like the sound of that.
Absolutely not. I mean, if they get to 335, I'll be stunned.
I mean, they have got the shittest 10 and 11 ever. I mean, Jimmy Anderson at the age of 41 is up to 10, which is very, very exciting. But yeah, I think the game's in the balance. And I think it's a weird one. England will kind of be hoping in a weird way that when they go out to bat tomorrow morning, that the ball's doing all sorts. I think they'd rather get free balls that keep low and absolute grubbers and they get skittled in the morning because it would mean there's something in the pitch for them.
Absolutely. I do think...
And that was a very long answer as well, by the way.
That's very good. It was a very good one. I mostly agree with you. I think it's a bit of a shame we didn't get to see Ollie Robinson bowl first thing, because I think he could have been devastating on that with his high release point when it was doing a bit with a new ball.
But yeah.
As you say, it might do that. He might hit cracks, because there are cracks on that pitch. There are definite cracks. Tomorrow is going to be fascinating, isn't it? We will find out whether the pitch flattens out. I suspect the second day will be the best to bat on, and then I expect it to crumble because the pitch is kind of set up to do that. But, you know, we've been wrong about the pitches throughout this series so far. They've been really good pitches to watch cricket on. I just want to pick up on a couple of things you said very briefly before we go. You said it was most sumptuous, most beautiful thing, most sexy thing. You said so sexy, that shot. It was sexy, and it had me in mind of the great Harold Pinter, who said that cricket was the greatest thing in the world. It was literally better than sex. And today, Zach Crawley came very, very close to saying that. He was asked by Graham Swan at the close of play, what did it feel like when you were walking off, having been bowled by Akash Deep, only to discover it was a no ball? And Zach said, really naturally, he goes, oh, honestly, it's the best thing in the world. It's better than, and I think he was about to say sex. And then he just remembered his, I thought, maybe I'm not allowed to use that word at this time of day, and maybe my partner will be really offended. He got very close to it, but I can totally identify with that. And it's such a weird thing, isn't it? Because now they check every no ball, and it's mentioned to be by Cam Ponsonby earlier. They used to just check the wicket to see if it was out. Now they check every ball. And poor old Akash Deep bowled a couple of no balls, but it had to be the time he bowled the complete Jaffa, the absolutely most gorgeous ball imaginable, to have it wiped off, poor thing. But I'm afraid. What more is there to be said? Tomorrow, we will have a much better idea of whether 302 for seven is good. What it is, though, and I stand by this, as I said at the beginning, England are in the test match. If they'd been bundled out for 170, they probably wouldn't be, and they'd be out of the series. But at the moment, they're in it. Even if India score 400, they will just about be clinging on whatever happens tomorrow morning to their batting. And that's what we want, isn't it? Not for a partisan reason, because you're one eye.
I'm a one-eyed, completely unimpartial England cricket fan, and I despise everyone that is in England, and I wish ill on them.
But I just want two all going into the last test, because a deciding rubber. Oh, just a couple of little stats that we haven't covered. One that everyone will know by now, 10 centuries for Joe Root. That's the most of any batter against India in illustrious company with Ponting, Sobers, Viv
Richards, Steve Smith.
And Steve Smith. It's not the most number of centuries by an England player against all countries, because Jack Hobbs, everyone will know, got 12 of his 1800s against Australia. And one other stat, which was rather fun, that incredibly boring session that you didn't like, where Folkes and Root batted the whole time. Do you know that is the first time England's batting has gone wicketless in a session since the Ireland test match at Lord's last summer.
That's a hell of a test. That's a hell of a statistic. Jack Hobbs, that Jack Hobbs stat is meaningless and worthless because, well, as we know, all old cricket is crap. I've decided anything pre 1970, I've decided as the cutoff point, is unacceptable. And secondly, from what I gather about old cricket, we only fucking played Australia.
Australia. Yeah, bit of South Africa.
Whenever stats come up about, oh, he scored 12 times against Australia. Yeah, because we played Australia every week. He had half a chance. So there is that small matter as well. And we found something that Jaiswal can't do. He bowled an over of filthy leg spin at the end of the day, and it turns out Jaiswal can't bowl. So
I thought that was really odd, actually, from Rohit.
Just bowl an extra bowl. You've got a chance last over of the day to take a huge wicket in Joe Root, and you let Jaiswal bowl leg spin half trackers.
Very odd, wasn't it? I mean, he was quite odd all day. The boys talked about it in the studio, Finney and Cookie on TNT, talking about the failure to have players around the bat, especially when they've got the fifth wicket, and Folks is not a guy who's going to counter-attack at you. And they had this really weird, tricksy, shortish point who was about 8 yards away, saving one, and they didn't crowd him at all. So I don't know whether that's the spookery of Bazball as well. Maybe Rohit thought, oh my God, this pitch is really spicy. 180 might be quite a lot. I don't know. But there were a lot of talking points today, and I think we've got through pretty much all of them.
I think we've done an excellent job, if I may say so myself. One bloke is very hungover and didn't even watch the game. Anyway, I'm gonna walk and talk now because I've got to leave work and go to the airport to Amsterdam. Now, there is a full episode out now, by the way. Sorry, it's a bit echoey now because I'm walking and talking through the building. There's a new full episode out, by the way. You can listen to that. And also, I'm off to Amsterdam to go and try and find a huge dildo to recreate the Stephen Finn picture.
Huzzah!
So best of luck. Wish me luck on my travels. And Daniel, I'll chat to you from Schiphol Airport tomorrow.
Oh, same sort of time. Are you coming back tomorrow then?
I'm doing 24 hours in Amsterdam. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll either call you from the airport or from prison. Either way, it should be a good day's play.
Wouldn't it be incredible if you used up your one call on doing a Zero Ducks daily? That would be genuine dedication.
Commitment to the podcast. While some confused, thank you. So I'm just saying goodbye to everyone at work. While some confused Dutch policeman watches me break down, you know, Ollie Robinson's 2 for 48 off 16.
Well, tune in tomorrow, folks.
See you there.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.